This is OSLCC Chapter 25, Tracing Our Roots, celebrating 25 years of cultural centers. Broncos, some near, some far, but no matter where you are, we're speaking to you and we hope you're listening. And you never know, we might even be engaging with you real soon.
Hello, my name is Tashiana Bryant Myrick, but most people on the Cal Poly Pomona campus know me as Tosh or Dr. Tosh. My pronouns are she, her, and hers, and I currently serve as the interim senior coordinator of the Office of Student Life and Cultural Centers. I had the honor of interviewing Mr. Eric McDowell, former Black Student Union president and Cal Poly Pomona alum. I also had the wonderful honor to serve as the African American Student Center coordinator from March 2014 to November 2019. And of course, running the African American Student Center or being a cultural center coordinator, you learn about the history of our spaces. Specifically in African American Student Center, you know that the Black Student Union played a very instrumental role as to why the African American Student Center exists. Actually, there's a plaque in African American Student Center that lists the names of the executive board members of Black Student Union. And Mr. Eric McDowell's name is listed on that plaque. Just a little bit of history about Black Student Union at Cal Poly Pomona. The Black Student Union actually was chartered at Cal Poly Pomona May 1968. During my time as African American Student Center coordinator, we actually celebrated 50 years of Black Student Union on campus. So that was in 2018. And it's an honor at 25 years of the cultural centers to hear directly from the student experience. A student who was working hard to bring the cultural centers to campus. So who is Mr. Eric McDowell?
Well, my name is Eric McDowell. I'm a faculty lecturer in the College of Engineering. I've been in higher education for over 25 years, I guess now. I started off both as administrator and faculty. Start my professional career at Cal Poly itself. Residence life and housing many years ago. I moved on from there to being the advisor and also associate director in MEP in the College of Engineering. And left MEP at Cal Poly and went on to be the director of MEP at Cal State LA for several years over there. I stayed there and decided to become an entrepreneur and do some other things that I had on my heart and mind. And I started my own small engineering company, an underground construction company, putting in the infrastructure for fiber optics and things like that. So I did that for a couple of years until the economy changed. And then I said, well, this is not going to work when the economy crashed. I believe in 2008 it was. Mm-hmm. And decided to, well, buy some franchises because I couldn't get the contracts that I wanted doing that. So I bought some franchises, my wife and I and a partner. And that's what I've been doing pretty much since then. And then I decided, well, I wanted to come back into higher education as well. And so I started teaching part-time. I've been doing that for the past, 6 years now, back at Cal Poly, and also being an entrepreneur or business owner as well.
So I asked Mr. McDowell to take me back to his time at Cal Poly Pomona. Take me back to when you first came to campus. And he actually took me back to summer of 1989, and then started to talk about his experience. So his experience when he first got to Cal Poly Pomona until he got into leadership. And here's what he had to say.
I was a student, and maybe kind of similar to students today, really wasn't that many African-American or Black students on the campus as you look at the totality or the enlarged student body. So I think at that time we were about 3% of the school population.
And wow, I believe still the same.
Still the same, exactly, right. And so, but for me, you know, I was born and raised in LA And so coming to the campus was a really good thing for me to get out of the hood and really a different environment, different place from all the negative or the activities down in the LA area. But right away when I got to the campus, when I got to the campus, it was really a good thing for me because I was just so excited to do something different. You know, I was excited to what they call the college experience at that time. But at the same time, it was a huge culture shock for me. And meaning that, you know, I came from a high school of predominantly Black students with, you know, a nice sized portion of Chicano Latino students, but overwhelmingly Blacks. And then I get to Cal Poly and the majority are, you know, white students. And it seems like we weren't necessarily welcome as much as I really wanted it to be. But at the same time, I think I kind of took advantage of that as well. And, you know, I hate to say I tried, you know, my first year, not necessarily knowing things, but use intimidation to make me feel more welcoming when it may have been that I wasn't welcome. But it could have been more perception than anything, too. However, you know, once I got really into the campus environment, it really wasn't as conducive for Black students as I would have wanted to be. But as I made progress and got involved with student organizations, got involved with the campus itself, it was really my calling, what I consider my calling, because I consider myself to be just really an average student. And what kept me focused and helped me stay in school was really my involvement on the campus. Rather, it was with early on with the National Society of Black Engineers, then with BSU and all the other things that came with being in BSU. I want to be specific, but I don't want to necessarily go ahead in your questions or anything, or you just want me to
go ahead, be specific.
Okay.
And if it goes into another question, that's totally fine too.
Okay. No, because I'm just reminiscing about my start. I can just remember, you know, the summer before coming, I was actually invited by the National Society of Black Engineers to attend a meeting at the president's house in LA. So he invited several of the students. I don't know how he got the information, but the club
too. I was like, how did he get this information?
Right. I'm just thinking about that too. But I guess at the time they were active with outreach and recruitment and probably was able to get the contact information of incoming Black students at that time. And so he invited me and several other students, and I think maybe three or four of us actually showed up. And that was really a nice welcoming for me. I actually attended Summer Bridge as well. And so I attended that meeting, went on to Summer Bridge. Summer Bridge was very fun. And that kind of sealed the deal for me that, yes, I had made the right decision to continue to pursue higher education as to maybe staying in the hood with my homies and the gangs and, you know, or just trying to find a job and, you know, doing whatever some of my buddies did. And it just really told me that I made the right decision once I, you know, did the Summer Bridge and had fun and got to meet more students and all of that. But right away, I got active with NSBE, the National Society of Black Engineers, my first year, you know, as a freshman student. They had me doing pretty much everything, which was exciting because I was learning and, you know, was with a cohesive group of individuals who we were all studying the same thing and had common goals and all of that. And following year, I became became the treasurer for NSBE. And the year after that, I became the president of NSBE. or NASS Society Black Engineer. So within 3 years of NASB, I had, you know, risen to the position of president and, you know, have gotten a lot of experience working in clubs and organizations, being on executive board, working with different people, and all of that good stuff. And so when it came to the campus environment, it was really a good organization to use at that time, because this was, well, I started Cal Poly in 1989. Mm-hmm. And around that time, the university president was Labowney. And I guess at that time when I entered on, the students were not so happy with Labowney at that time, and were or had already been in place to make some changes. And so NASB was part of several other student organizations that were actively protesting and trying to make some changes or get rid of Labowney, basically. That's how I interpret it. And, you know, as a freshman student, you know, when we met several times with some of the Chicano Latino students at that time, basically, mm-hmm. you know, was trying to get rid of the university president because of, you know, the things that was not available for students of color at that time, which, you know, was my catalyst for being active as a Black student, and really helped catapult what I wanted to do and maybe some of my vision when I became president of the Black Student Union. So it was some of those things that really kind of started everything off for me. Just trying to think about how was, you know, the environment, you know, in a little bit more, you know, mm-hmm. university itself wasn't so bad. It's just, we always wish, or I always wish, there were just more Black students.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And, you know, it was only after, you know, going through my student progress and then maybe graduating, becoming a professional, when I had that introspect look at things, that it was more difficult, it was more to it than just a wish upon a star, you know. And so I wish I can say that they, you know, that there was that one person, the university president, or one entity that can say, just turn on the spigot and more African-American or Black students would be on the campus. And really wasn't that easy. There, it was more to it. Rather, it was, you know, us as Black people just wasn't prepared to go to college in the numbers that it should be. And so there wasn't enough in the pipeline, is what I'm trying to say. But I didn't understand that at the time, but much later I did begin to realize that. Mm-hmm. And so those that were in the pipeline, Cal Poly wasn't on the radar for, you know. And so it's like, well, how can you get more Black students at Cal Poly, but Cal Poly wasn't necessarily advertising or promoting to the Black culture or the Black people at that time. And so that was one of the major issues. And, you know, when I really moved into the president as the Black Student Union, you know, I really challenged, let me just say first that I wish it was just me, but it wasn't. It was a team of folks on my executive board at that time, different entities on campus, faculty, staff, in the background, that were pivotal for some of the things that I was able to do, some of the things that Black Student Union was able to do, that were key. I didn't want to start off by saying I did this, I did that, although it was under my leadership at that time. However, you know, it was a learning experience because, you know, I had just tried to run for another term as president of NASB and lost. And so some of my supporters with NASB at the time, you know, were disappointed as well. And I thought, well, what am I going to do now? And I, you know, got to the highest position in NASB. And so I still got what, 2, maybe 3 more years of college to do because I was nowhere near finishing. Although I was a junior or senior at the time, I just wasn't anywhere finished, you know. And so after I thought about it, and someone's like, well, you know, you can go over to BSU and, you know, do that. And, you know, I thought about it, I said, that was a good suggestion from, you know, someone. I can't recall who it was, but it was actually the best suggestion and thing that I actually, you know, decided to do. You know, and, you know, to be frank with you, it was a lot of work, but it was a lot of fun too. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, when I decided, well, I was going to run, I ran for the position and got it. And I think some of the other individuals that ran, I really didn't know at the time, was our vice president, John Tillis, and I believe our secretary, Gina Jones. And I believe we were the 3, and I apologize if I forget anyone, the 3 individuals that really ran for the position and got it, basically. The people voted for us, basically.
Okay.
And then once we got things going and started, we opened it up for more individuals to get on the board who wanted to get involved. You know, we got other key positions filled and things like that. And I could be wrong with some of them, but that's what I remember at this point in time. It's been so long now. But once we got started, you know, I got to know them, they got to know me. We were on fire because we had a bond, we liked each other, and, you know, I guess my leadership, you know, I guess I was more seasoned than they were. And so they were learning. And so I guess I was what they needed because I showed them what we needed to do, how to get things going and all of that. And so we kind of, you know, we put it all together. You know, we had fun doing it once we got more people involved. And it was, and I would say it was easy to get people involved, because they saw what we were doing. And so they wanted to get involved. And so at some point in time with many things, we just had to select the best individual. And it wasn't a situation of, we just can just take anybody, you know. and, you know, everybody that did get involved, it was a big family. We, you know, outside of, you know, classroom and, you know, outside of BSU, we were always together, you know. I didn't live in on campus as a student, not too much later. But, you know, I believe Gina and John at the time were both living on campus in the village at that time. And so, you know, we were always at one of their house, you know. And so because we were always together, it was always seen most of the time as BSU functions and BSU type of things and all of that. So I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, because of us, you know, having that synergy, harmony of wanting to be friends and hang around each other, it made it much easier for doing some of the things that we were doing. You know, right away we got strong key individuals on board, our treasurer, Adrian Lovejoy, our outreach person, such as Jerome Hunter, many other folks that we had. We had a nice team of 8 to 10 people on the board, you know, the whole year. You know, we came up with a plan. You know, somebody suggests, well, at our meetings, we should, you know, sing the National Black Anthem. You know, so we did that at every meeting. We held hands. We started the meetings off by holding hands and singing the National Black Anthem. And I must say, it didn't come without any controversy as well.
I bet.
Well, we had some, I would call it good controversy, but at the time I didn't think so. But we did have, you know, another key individual more on the Nation of Islam, Muslim type of thing, wanted to have his type of meeting as well. And so once we got things going, you know, he kind of mentioned that he would like to see us separated, men on one side, women on the other side, you know, as if we were all in the Nation of Islam. And right away, you know, we wasn't so receptive to that. And he decided, well, he was going to start his own thing. And so he, with that, you know, I went to a couple of his meetings just to see, or, you know, if we had, you know, just dismissed this without any merit, you know, or was there something really there? And what eventually just happened, and I told him, I was like, just do what you're going to do. We'll continue to do what we're going to do. You know, we just appreciate if you don't intentionally come to one of our meetings and, you know, try and recruit, you know, if whatever you want to do outside of that, that's your business, basically, is what it was. Mm-hmm. But I think at one point in time, we had a meeting when he was in the initial stage of doing this. He had stood up at a time where we were asking for response from the members and people out in the audience. He got up and said something, said, well, I need all y'all to follow me out, you know? And so.
Wow.
Right. So at that time, you know, after that, one of my good friends now, he was our outreach person's name, Jerome. You know, he started being the bouncer at the door, you know. And so, you know, we had so many individuals at our meetings. All our meetings had at least 30 or more students. We didn't have enough room. We had to change rooms several times because we kept moving up to bigger rooms. And so, you know, it was just so awesome to see it, you know, first of all, but you know, it was so awesome to see all the things that we were trying to do come to fruition. And, you know, people wanted to do things and people just wanted to be involved. I'm trying to think of some of the things that we did. You know, I guess I'll stick with some of the political things. I mean, of course, we did some of the social things, you know, the partying type of things, you know, at that time. The uniting type of things to get people want to be involved on the social side of things. But, you know, many of us on the board had political admirations or aspirations making some changes. Mm-hmm. One of the things was the cultural centers, or more specifically, the African American Student Center. At that time, we wanted to see, because, you know, at the time, or when I got on the campus, I recall there being the Masa House for the Mexican-American students, and that was pretty much it. Besides the Reentry Center for Women, there really wasn't much anything for Asian Pacific Islanders, Asians, or African-Americans, or anything like that. And so that was one of the things we wanted to see come about as well. Another thing was the Black graduation that we were mm-hmm. instrumental in getting, along with, I gave you an example of the Nation of Islam gentleman who started that. His name was Ahmed, and Ahmed was very instrumental too and making sure we got the Black graduation as well. He was one key pivotal individual, although we had disagreements on, you know, trying to, I guess, be the spokesperson or the spokes organization for Black people on the campus. But we did have common goal and did do things behind the scenes. And he is one of those individuals that had the ear of key individuals to make sure that work was being done, along with myself and our executive board at that time. Or actually, it wasn't 1 year that it, you know, eventually came about. It was, you know, after that as well, you know. But it was that year. This was 1992, I believe, 92, 93 academic year, where we were so united. And, you know, we were so united where key faculty or administrators were actually helping us out, mm-hmm. without me asking or anyone asking. They were coming to us. And that was the eye-opener for us when we sat down and thought about what we were trying to do. We found ourselves getting help from key individuals just coming to us and not wanting to be known about it, really, specifically. And I understood it, and many of them made it clear, look, my job is on the line. They didn't want nobody to know, basically. And they wasn't all Black as well. And so I'm trying to paint the picture and show how when we unified, others got on board to help us out with what we were trying to do when they really wouldn't have if they didn't see the unity.
Wow. Right? That was a lot of great information. Well, Mr. McDowell continues with his response and talking about the Black graduation and the start of it, how the first coordinator of the African American Student Center, Dr. Winnie Lanier, became the first coordinator. He also talks about a few incidents that happened in his time as Black Student Union president.
You know, me and Agme, we're good now, but during that time, those several years, you know, there was tension, you know. And so, you know, but I also knew, you know, after, you know, we finally got the, you know, the graduation thing, and, you know, I'm not too proud to say Ahmed, he played a significant role with that after my year being president of BSU. You know, I want to say it was over a 3 year period, let's say. Mm-hmm. And that final year, Ahmed was really that last year, that key individual, some of the faculty and staff were working with to bring it on board, you know. And he played a pivotal role. But I was also saying some, you know, support that came out from faculty. You know, I want to say we were instrumental in getting Winnie Lanier that first job for the African American Student Center. Although I know Dr. Lanier, she got that on her own merit. You know, we pretty much created the position, basically. You know, I don't want to, you know, say that we got her the job. No, she got it on her own merit, but we forced the university and key administrators to create the position, pretty much, and hire it out, basically. You know, she was very instrumental helping us out at the time. You know, key individuals like Penny Sweetenberg Lee over in EOP at the time, Pat over in the Women's Reentry Center, mm-hmm. Was very helpful. Even Kay Hutzbett, an MEP, was very helpful. Who else? Many people came out. Will Wright and Outreach at the time. But let me also give a story, because, you know, right away when I became president, we sat down and we talked about, you know, different areas that wasn't doing things for African Americans. And so you know, our job was, well, let's go meet with these individuals in these areas and figure out. And at the time, and outreach and outreach and recruitment was a specific area at Cal Poly. And then I guess it was just recruitment itself. They were separated. There was outreach and there was recruitment. Mm-hmm. Will Wright was over outreach and recruitment. And I think Will had progressed from EOP to outreach. And then Rose Smith was over the recruitment side. And so our concept or our thinking, well, you have two African-Americans who are overseeing in charge of these two areas, outreach and recruitment. So why are we 3% of, you know, the population? But it wasn't until we met with these individuals to give us more perspective on the matter to help us out. And it was really, in some cases, beyond their authority or beyond what they could do. Like I said, the university wasn't necessarily advertising or marketing to our community. And so, you know, they had to have the blessing of the university to, you know, exalt more of their resources to that as well. And I can just recall the first time we met with Will, I think it was about four of us from the executive board. We set up a meeting. We were going to meet with Will, and we had a list of questions. We were going to fire off to him and everything. And we were so angry at him, and we met with him, and it was a whole different meeting. And I just so recall it. And Will, we got in the meeting, and Will, he ran the meeting. I thought I was going to run the meeting, but he ran the meeting. He talked the whole time. We left that meeting, we looked at each other like, what happened? And it was just so funny. And, you know, he just, wasn't nothing materialized from the meeting. And I know Will knew we were coming for blood. And so him and his way of, you know, dealing with those type of issues and situations, he pretty much diffused it the best way. And he gave us all these stories of, you know, different things. And, you know, a whole hour went by and we got nothing accomplished, basically, that we had on our agenda. But from then and there, it made my relationship with him better. With many folks, you know, we met with Will, we met with Rose, we met with other folks on campus as well. And they knew that we were serious about doing things. I guess we had one event that really changed a lot of things. One of our executive members had a birthday. I'm trying to remember. Well, it wasn't a plan. It was a birthday party in the village, essentially. His girlfriend at the time had planned it. And, you know, by far, we are no saints. I just want to let you know that. But he was having a birthday party, and he was a very good Christian student at that time. And so, you know, what I'm trying to convey is that we were at a birthday party where many of us as students drank alcohol, but we weren't allowed at his party, so to say. And so, because, you know, out of respect for him, we didn't drink. Although, you know, some of us had something to drink before we got to the party, but we weren't drinking at the party, nor were we intoxicated or belligerent at the party, anything like that. But an incident occurred where one of the resident advisors or CAs at the mm-hmm. village came and tried to shut us down and assumed because we were drinking out of solo plastic cups on the patio or in the porch of the village, he assumed we were drinking alcohol. And so that kind of lit a fire under us. And I'm, you know, me being president of BSU, I'm like, whoa, we're not drinking anything. And then so the birthday boy actually chastised all of us and to double check to his standards and make sure that nobody was drinking. And I told him, I said, look, nobody's drinking. Nobody brought anything. Yes, we had something before we came, but you know, we've been here for an hour or so already, you know, our behavior. So, you know, this is out of character basically, you know? And so the CA was actually a white gentleman that confronted us about having a party and drinking. And so although we wasn't drinking, we was partying, we were loud. But the part about it was right across from our building, there was another party. Mm-hmm. And it was by white students. And so we told him like, well, you're gonna break them up. And he never went over there to address them at all. And so we were mad. So at that point, the next day we were fired up. We met with the administrators on campus, the VP, I think was Gene Iwakuni at that time, VP of Student Affairs, many of his different entities that were responsible underneath him. And we had this meeting with them regarding this, and we really wanted him fired. And so, interesting, with this meeting, we sat down and planned what we're going to do, what we're going to talk about, questions, concerns we had. So we had a whole agenda. We were all ready. One of the things we wanted to do was make a impression or convey to the administrators how wrong it was and what they did. So when we had the meeting up in the new CLA building at the time, in one of those meeting rooms, we congregated right outside the meeting, and we had water in those same plastic cups. So we went into the meeting and we told them to pause, and we handed out cups to all the students and had them pour water in it. And we asked them, so what are we drinking today?
That's powerful.
Right. And so I think it kind of hit to them that, you know, okay, yeah, they kind of messed up on this one. And, you know, we talked, you know, logically and, you know, respectfully, and what our demands were. Basically, we wanted him fired. Long story short, they stood by him. Mm-hmm. And they disciplined him in some kind of way that I don't recall. But I also say I don't disagree with it. Actually, me and him became very good friends after this as well. And so good friends that he trusts me with his children. So, you know, it was a good, I'm happy he did get fired. And many of us participated in cross-cultural type of things after that with him as well. And what actually happened was he gave up basically. So he addressed us at that party, and, you know, the birthday boy, well, birthday boy was Jerome. Jerome, you know, chastised him so bad, and we said so many things to him, you know, to defend ourselves, that he didn't feel comfortable going to address the other. He just left and said, forget this, basically. And, you know, we interpret it as racism. You know, well, you stop the black folks from partying, but you don't do nothing with the white folks. And so, and it really wasn't that. It's just he screwed up, basically, and didn't know how to address it any further, basically, was the situation. And so the university saved him, but there was a lot of reconciliation that went on after that, so forth and so on, and which was a good thing. But it also brought us together even more as well as a student body working together on different things as well, because they knew we were serious as well. I'm trying to think of many other things that occurred during that year that are pivotal today. You know, African American Student Center, the graduation, that. Other than that, I guess I would consider them more social type of things that were important during that time. But, you know, it was just unbelievable the amount of the African-American students that we had involved, student athletes, on down to all the different majors at that time. You know, rather us as the executive board, literally tutoring folks off campus or doing different things as well. But during that year also, I was involved with ASI, Student Body Government. I was the Cultural Affairs Commissioner at that time as well, which I had other responsibilities too. So key individuals, kind of think about it, and ASI were helpful as well. In the business office, a lot of people, saw what we were trying to do and gave a helping hand behind the scenes for me or for the executive board to make some of those changes that eventually came through. And again, I stress that they wasn't all necessarily African-American or Black people, a lot of different people that were very helpful at that time.
During our time together, Mr. McDowell and I talked about the support that he and BSU received from some faculty and staff members on campus during that time. And we talked about like how that support was given to BSU. He highlighted that some people were very, very helpful, but he could not mention like who they were because their jobs were on the line. He also jokes at the end of this next clip about how some of those things were questionable. But the thing I want to highlight in this next clip is how he said it really did take the students to unite for things to really move forward and for more people to get involved.
Right. But I think it really took and it really does take the students to unite for others to get involved, because nobody's going to put their job on the line, sort of say, if they don't see it being worth it, basically. And so that's pretty much what we had created. You know, individuals knew what we were about, knew how serious we were. And so, you know, they were willing to take that effort to help out. You know, I'm not going to say specifically what some of those things were. You know, they are questionable.
I didn't ask, what were some of the things you all were able to do because of the unity?
Yeah. Well, right away I can think of some of the things that we were able to do because of the unity. We did retreats, even during my BSU year, but definitely the year or two after that, Big Bear retreat, for the executive board or just the general body, because I was involved with ASI, a small handful of us, maybe one or two other individuals were involved as well. So we knew how to get student body or money from the student body government for our activities and things like that. So we were able to do some of those things. Our banquets, we had nice banquets at the end of the year. To recognize students for their academic achievements, not necessarily social aspects. So, and a chance for us to get together, dress real nice, and recognize each other from some of the other entities. I guess because I was involved with NASB and ASI, I was also involved with the Black History Month Committee, either by default or because BSU oversaw it. you know, I became the Athletics Affairs Commissioner in ASI the following year. So I was involved with the Bronco cheerleaders because I supervised them and some of the other athletic entities as well. So I was helpful in getting students mobilized and getting them to get involved with their different councils in their college, you know, the engineering councils or the business council, where they can get money for their clubs and organizations and things like that. We got lots of help from the Office of Student Life on many different things during that time as well, from key individuals in charge there, rather as the former VP, Rebecca Gudetis Keaton, but she wasn't a VP at that time. What else we did? Many things. Some things I just don't recall right off the top of my head right now. We try to do or keep it as much as possible academic, you know. And then when we tried to work closely with Winnie Lanier at the time to have something of substance, academic wise, but also to try and bring about more African-American students on the campus as well. Like I alluded to early on, I mean, there's more to it and more entities involved and, you know, more challenges to kind of work with in order to bring that about, more than what the African-American Student Center could possibly do or just the students themselves. It really takes, you know, the leadership to get involved, meaning the university president. Although I think at that time, Dr. Suzuki, Bob Suzuki was favorable of many of the things we were doing. However, it was really his administrators, his VPs and things that were helping out, but there really wasn't, that I can remember, that clear message from the president that this was important, you know, for everyone else on the campus to jump.
So my next question to Mr. McDowell was about the coalition of students who worked together to bring the cultural centers to campus. I asked Mr. McDowell, what was his experience with that? How did this coalition work? Here's his answer.
My story on how that worked, I want to say that before the 92 BSU that I think is sort of that was outspoken and sort of famous of unity and all of that, there was work being done by many different entities that I've already expressed with the, you know, different entities really. They were mobilized trying to get rid of the university president at that time, LeBounty, who they felt were racist and all of that during that time. And, you know, at that time, this was one of the agenda items as well, but not the most important agenda item. And I think from our standpoint, I'm saying our meaning the Black people, we wanted what Mesa had, basically. I was like, why they got a house over there? I mean, it didn't necessarily appear to be the best structural type of thing, but clearly we kind of wanted somewhere where we could congregate and,
right,
and do some things as well. And it really wasn't until that 92, 93 year where we really stepped up that. Now, back to answer your question specifically, yes, we all kind of met because I would like to say that during that time, it was our cultural group that was the catalyst to really light the fire under those who had the authority to make it happen, to push them to make it happen. And in my opinion, they couldn't make it happen without including those others. So they couldn't just do it for the Black folks without doing it for the other folks, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the I guess, the compromise with that. And I remember, you know, another key individual, our advisor during that time, very helpful, was Fred Henderson during that time. And Fred brought to me and showed me the plans during that time when they were going to use, you know, that those buildings right there by the, what is it called now? The eating facility over there, across from the Career Center. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the university that came up with the plans, which showed us that they were kind of serious about doing something, you know, and, you know, finally made it happen, you know, and it kind of made us work with some of the other groups, but I can't recall any extensive work with them other than really saying that, okay, what's been done by all of us individually, now the campus is serious about doing something and having this. And this is what they're proposing, or the best place that they could allocate resources or physical resources to house us to do this. Wasn't the best divide, in my opinion. It was better than nothing. So, you know, the Asian Pacific Islanders got the bulk of the building. And yes, they were probably the bigger group as well. The Latino students got a piece of it, I believe, but they still had the Mesa House. But, you know, you can't just lump all the Latinos together. So Mesa was more Mexican American. And so the others wanted something a little different as well. And it's kind of, I believe, what eventually happened with us. It was more the American Blacks, but eventually the African students wanted more inclusion involvement later on as well. And so, as you can see in our group, there was that divide as well, you know, amongst the Black students, you know, more the African descent as opposed to the American descent, Black students and things like that. And even with the naming of the place, that discussion came about too, we were the Black Student Union, and, you know, eventually after that, they wanted to change it to something else, you know, it is what it is. If they change it, I don't know. Yeah, it was a topic. I think we even discussed it and voted on it as well, at least when it came to the name of the center. And I think at that time, overwhelmingly, we were more American Blacks, and that's where it pretty much went with that. Although many of us felt we were conscious and felt that we were more African American than just a Black student center, you know. And so pretty much we voted on that at that time. And it's interesting you brought up Dr. Humber, and, you know, Dr. Humber played a vital role as well after Dr. Winnie Lanier left. You know, we had Katrina Hammond, mm-hmm. I believe she was after that, who took on the center. And really, it was under her leadership we got, you know, I don't want to say more. We got more faculty involved, you know, and I would like to say it was, you know, her leadership, and also because of the things that we did those couple of years, that we were able to form the tour to the South, you know, with Dr. Humber. Mm-hmm. You know, I even did that as a student myself, and then I even chaperoned or did it, help with Katina with that professionally later on with Dr. Humber and Katrina as well, where we took students tour the South. And actually, I took my own family, my personal family. We did a tour to the South, about 30 of us from our family. We
Oh, wow.
We did a tour of something similar to that as well. And so, you know, I'm just pointing out how I was influenced by that as well. And so, and Dr. Humbert and what she does was very key for that as well. And Dr. Humbert was very active within mm-hmm. the center at that time. And so going forward, I realized that in order for us to continue to progress, you really needed to do more things academic related than socially mm-hmm. related in order to continue to get the funding that you needed in order to demonstrate to the administrators that it's a viable entity for the students, and that whatever resources financially or physically that they're allocating to the centers or anything specifically for Black folks, that they need to continue doing. If it's just seen socially, then it would get chopped or cut right away.
So through conversation, we started to kind of talk about like, well, what were those things that was contributing to the sense of belonging of Black students before the African American Student Center? Because we had talked about Mr. McDowell being very, very involved with NSBE, with BSU, but still wanting a place to call their own. As you heard him say, he wanted something like the Massa House that was on campus, right? For Black students. And so he started to talk about what was the Black student experience when he got to campus, and how it was explained to him that that kind of started to die down, that Black social life, that the Black Greek life, that kind of started to die down. And so that also kind of contributes to when you're thinking about, okay, I want to be on campus. I need something that I call my own. I need a home for myself, and these other things don't exist. How important it is for now a Black space to be brought to campus.
Oh, reminded me of something. When I first got on campus too, I think it was a shift in the student culture, I want to say. And so I got the biggest impression before 89 that the African or the Black students were more heavily involved with the fraternities and sororities. And so when I got on campus, you know, a lot of, you know, individuals I ran with within the fraternities would tell me about the parties that they had, the things that they were doing, you know, at that time, that, you know, during 89, 90, that wasn't being done anymore, you know. The huge dances they had that brought people on the campus, you know, from the community, so forth and so on. Either there was just a void there because so many people graduated or left the campus at that time who were in key positions, and there wasn't enough people to continue some of those legacies from those organizations. And so, you know, I always got the impression that the Greek life for Blacks was much stronger at that time compared to after I came on the campus. Although I'm not from any of the Greek fraternities myself, you know, I had my, what's the political way of saying this, my view of those particular things. You know, I come from straight from the hood, from some of the gang areas. And so, you know, if I got to the campus, I just really wasn't my calling, basically, for me. So, although I kind of wish now that maybe I should have, but, you know, at the time, it just wasn't me, mm-hmm. so to say. But yeah, the life and the environment and the culture was a little different, you know, prior to 89, you know, for Black folks. And, you know, I'm just happy that, you know, I got involved with NSBE right away, because really that, it was an eye opener for many different things for me, you know, learning to manage money, because the treasurer was one of my good friends, and that's why I became the treasurer the following year, you know, because he was pretty much prepping me for the job. I just didn't know it.
Wow. So we know how important it is for students to get involved on campus. In Mr. McDowell's case, he got involved in a student organization, the National Society of Black Engineers, which led him to another student organization, Black Student Union. And him and his executive board is now making a difference on campus, is a part of history of bringing a cultural center to campus, along with a coalition of students. And he also did student government. He joined ASI, which is Associated Students Incorporated. I then went into our last question. What do you think is the legacy of the cultural centers?
Well, yeah, some of those legacies should continue to flourish and do things and just, you know, improve them, you know, make those changes that make it better for the students and for it to run, you know, efficiently and things like that. I think, I hope the legacy that still continues to go is, you know, students getting involved with different entities on campus, clubs and organizations. One of my goals, or one of the things I always wanted to do and didn't do, was to be ASI president. Mm-hmm. I really wanted to do that and came close to trying that, but I didn't want to do it without a team of Black folks trying to. Mm-hmm. And so I fell short of trying to, I didn't want to be a Black president without being able to make change. And because I was involved with ASI, I knew how to make change, but I couldn't do it myself. So I knew I needed senators involved to make the changes that I wanted to do, or it wasn't worth me in my last year or two of my academic progression to do something of that sort. So I was trying to put together a team, of course, myself and the VP I had, but I couldn't get three Black senators to try and run from the different colleges. Mm-hmm. And so I think I got one, a possible two, and we ran out of time and just had to make the decision that, you know, my education was more important and wasn't worth, you know, although I felt that we could have possibly won, just me and him on a ticket, but I didn't want to put forth all that effort of being that president without being able to make the changes that I wanted to see or be able to change, which I knew many of the senators wouldn't necessarily vote for or, you know, do if I was in a position myself. I probably could have persuaded some of the things, but mm-hmm. I didn't want to persuade. Right. In order to push the things through, you want to get through. Right. And so, you know, I knew just by being commissioners, you know, I didn't have I didn't vote on any of those things that went through because I wasn't a senator, but I understood the business basically, you know, and that's why I told my folks, because, you know, some folks like, why don't you go do the ASI president? And, you know, as much as I denied it at the time, it was on my radar. And I just couldn't put together that team. And I knew I couldn't say it overtly what I was trying to do neither. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it didn't pan out like I wanted to do. So I guess I'm saying that, you know, if we can continue to get students involved in the entities on campus, and if they unite, they can really make a difference. You know, and I know from experience, you know, just by luck in some cases that, you know, we put together a lot of things, and we put it together because some of us were involved with other entities, and because we had the unity, some things just came to us because people wanted to see us succeed, basically, and would help out or do things, you know, discreetly without us or telling us not to say anything about it, basically. So legacy is important. However, reality also tells me that, you know, there need to be new ways forged or a new path blazed as well. And sometimes we just need to look at the past for educational purposes and see where we need to go for the future too. So I know that we barely got a physical place for the center, but I also wish that they had either ASI or someone that worked better with ASI and the university, that maybe one of the newer buildings that they had created, or the new part of the union that ASI created, that they had encompassed a cultural center aspect within there, where the cultural centers could be in there. But again, you know, if the ASI president is not, you know, pushing that along with the senators, then that's not going to come about. So it's left on the university side of things as well. So, but I just wish there was a better place where, you know, all the groups could congregate and come together on many different things. They can come out of their compartmental areas and come to a bigger place and work on things together, you know.
And we concluded our interview, and what a rewarding experience. We heard the stories of Black Student Union's executive board and members being a part of the movement to bring the cultural centers to the Cal Poly Pomona campus. But Mr. McDowell gave us the how. The events leading up to the opening of the cultural centers and what followed and everything in between. He reminded us of the importance of unity and the support from faculty and staff. He reminded us about the importance of getting involved in student organizations and ensuring that you get the best out of your college experience. What was also very special and something that I reflected on at my time at the African American Student Center and in his story is the legacy of Black student activism. During my time at the African American Student Center as the coordinator, I spoke with a lot of alumni from all over the years, from the 60s, the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and into the new millennium. Many of them shared with me their experiences with activism and being involved on campus. And I'm always amazed at how much Black students have done to ensure that the generation after them has a better experience. How much of their influence continues to run through the Black community at Cal Poly Pomona. I even reflected on my experience working with current Black student activists on campus. In addition to hearing about the start of the African American Student Center, we also got to hear about the start of the Diversity Ambassador Program, which Mr. McDowell referred to as the trip to the South, and the start of Pan-African Graduation Celebration, which Mr. McDowell referred to as the Black Graduation, or its original name,
the African American graduation.
This was a wonderful opportunity. And how special to hear this story during the 25th anniversary of the Cal Poly Pomona Cultural Center. Shall we say bye?